Good afternoon, members. We'll call this meeting of the Education Finance Committee to order. The first order of business is going to be the Lemire Bill, House File 2376. We don't have a quorum, so I'm not going to move that bill quite yet, but Representative Lemire, once that quorum takes place, I will move the bill for you. Representative Lemire, is this your first time before the Education Finance Committee?
Yes, it is, Mr. Chair.
Did you bring cookies?
I didn't bring cookies. I didn't know there was specifics.
That was part of the
hearing. Twizzlers.
That was part of the hearing request notification, Representative Lemire. Representative Greiling, do you have a motion for the Lemire bill?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Chair, I think that we should just send it to the Doghouse Committee immediately and give them another chance because, oh, there is something. Thank you.
Representative Greiling,
cancel that.
Motion to send 2376 to the Doghouse. So, Representative Lemire, if you want to go ahead and begin your presentation, describe the bill.
Yes.
If you need House staff to do that or have your testifiers, and then we'll formally move the motion, move the bill once we have a quorum present.
Very good, Mr. Chair. Thank you. Members, House File 2376 states that, you know, right now under current statute, capital purchases for the food service equipment must be made from the general fund. Unless at the end of the fiscal year there's money in the unreserved balance fund to purchase capital equipment with that fund, and right now, if they have a surplus in that account, they have to go before the Minnesota Department of Education to ask for permission to purchase a piece of equipment within the food service equipment. And what this legislation does is it just says that at the end of a fiscal year, if there's a surplus in the account, that they have the ability to go out and purchase a piece of equipment without going to the Minnesota Department of Education for permission.
Representative Lemire, do you have some testifiers here?
Yes, they do.
Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Elaine Keefe, and I'm here on behalf of the Minnesota School Nutrition Association. The members of our association are school nutrition directors, dietitians, cooks, and cafeteria servers, also known as lunch ladies. We strongly support this bill to eliminate the requirement that we obtain approval from MDE before purchasing food service equipment out of the food service fund. This requirement is in law because our association asked for it back in 1991. It was intended as a protection for the food service fund, but it's outlived its usefulness. Our experience has been that after submitting a request to MDE to purchase equipment, it often takes months to get a response. We're required to attach to the request form a price quote from the vendor to document the price of the equipment, and often these quotes are valid for 30 days, and so by the time we get the approval from MDE, the quotes are no longer valid. They've expired. Now, in fairness to MDE, they did announce in November some changes that would speed things up so that the approval process would be completed in weeks rather than taking months. That's an improvement, but we would prefer to simply repeal the requirement. We think that we can decide when we need to purchase a new oven or a dishwasher. And if there's concern that the food service fund might be used to purchase equipment that's not related to food service, that's something that'll be flagged in an audit and can be corrected at that time. We surveyed our members this fall, and they overwhelmingly supported repealing this requirement. So we'd appreciate your support.
Representative Lemire, do you have additional testifiers?
Yes, I do.
Welcome to the committee, sir. Please state your name for the record.
Mr. Chairman and members, Sam Walseth with the Minnesota Rural Education Association. We want to give our support for the bill today as well. We did a lot of mandate relief last session. This year, it's kind of mandate relief light, but this is important to our membership as well. I've heard anecdotally from superintendents and school business managers around the state who are quite frustrated when it's January or, you know, in the middle of the year, you need to buy a dishwasher or a new oven and having to wait for approval. And this would just help expedite that process. So we're supporting the bill today. Thank you.
Thank you. Additional testifiers, Representative Lemire?
Yes, one more.
Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Valerie Doslin. I represent the Minnesota Association of School Business Officials. Not going to reiterate what Elaine and Sam said, but also just to let you know that MASVO also supports this legislation, and thank you, Representative Lemire, for trying to move this forward.
Thank you, Representative Lemire. Do you have any additional testifiers?
I believe that's all I have, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. This is a public hearing. Are there any members of the public who wish to testify in favor or voice concerns about the bill? Welcome to the committee, sir. Please state your name for the record.
Mr. Chair, members, my name is Darren Cordy. I'm with the Minnesota Department of Education. The department does support this bill. We met with Ms. Keep and Ms. Dozlin back in November to address some of the concerns they had with the delays that were going on in this process. We did acknowledge that some of those delays were something that we could try and fix. We do believe that we've made some improvements in that area, but ultimately with the audit process that occurs at the back end of this, we feel that the department is covered from a compliance standpoint federally and that it would expedite the process for the district. So we do support this bill.
Thank you. We now have so the chair will move House File 2376 be recommended to pass and refer to the general register. Again, this is a public hearing. Are there any members of the public who wish to testify in favor or voice concerns about the bill? Seeing none, we'll close the public comment portion of the bill and move to member questions. Representative Ward.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And members, I just wanted you to know that in the spirit of bipartisanship and as a co-author on this bill, I thank Representative Mike Lemire for bringing this forward. I've talked to my superintendents as well. And this will, in fact, allow them to purchase kitchen equipment when they need it, not have to wait for an audit, not have to wait the 6 months that they have had to wait in the past. So in the spirit of bipartisanship, I would encourage members to vote for this bill.
Any other questions or comments from members of the committee? Representative Greiling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Even though I'm a co-author and even though they did bring sweets, I don't think he should get off quite that easy, though. So, Representative...
You've got to have more
left. Okay. If you bring it over, I won't ask my 10 questions.
I'll bring it over.
Okay. Mr. Chair, that's
Representative
it.
Representative Greiling. Well, that was it? Really?
Yeah, that was
oh, jeez. I would have liked that sort of treatment before the committee. That'd be great. Any other questions or comments from members of the committee? Representative Lemire, any closing comments?
Just ask for your support, please, and thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee.
The chair renews his motion to have House File 2376 be recommended to pass and refer to the general register. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Motion prevails. The motion is adopted. Representative Lemire, good seeing you. Thank you very much. Representative Barrett? The chair will move House File 2383 for possible inclusion in a later bill. And Representative Greiling has thoroughly reviewed the minutes from February 22nd and moves adoption of the minutes. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. The motion prevails. The minutes are adopted. And again, the chair has already moved 2383 for possible inclusion in a later bill. Representative Barrett, to your bill. Welcome sure. to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, I do have two small oral amendments, if we could.
Okay, well, we have, first of all, Representative Barrett, we have an A1 amendment that changes the 12 to the 13 and the 22 to the 23. So is it okay if the chair moves that amendment first?
Sure.
All right, so the chair will move that amendment. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. The amendment is adopted. And then, Representative Barrett, what is the additional amendment you have?
Sure. Related to the move in the language from 2012 to 13 and 22 to 23, we'd like to change 2023 to 2028, which would allow the folks involved here to create a 15-year bond or 15-year loan rather than a 10-year. It doesn't require them to do that, but it would allow them the option.
Okay, so page 3, 3.16
in my copy. I don't have the amendment. So.
Yep, page 3, line 16, members. This is the very last line of the bill. We changed the 22 to 23, and now we're proposing Representative Barrett, or I will move on behalf of Representative Barrett to change it from 23 to 28 as the bill in the form that the author would like. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Motion prevails. The bill is in the form that you would like. Representative Barrett, to your presentation.
Sure, Mr. Chair. Not quite. More oral amendment, which I believe may or may not be necessary, but just in the interest of making sure that we're covering all our bases, we wanted to, in line 3.13, insert the words and land after the word building, just because in order to build a building, you have to have land. And so we're just covering our bases with adding the word land to the language.
Okay. So before I move this, I just want to make sure that's okay with Representative Greiling, because we do have a 24-hour rule in this committee. Representative Greiling?
Mr. Chair, that's fine with me, and if we have something like that later, we'll expect the same.
Fair enough. So the way this will read on line 312 and 313, members, is the St. Croix River Education District that finds it economically advantageous to enter into a lease purchase agreement for a building and land for the St. Croix River Education District. Is that correct, Representative Barrett?
That is correct.
The chair will move that change, move that amendment. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say nay. The motion prevails, and now I do believe the bill is in the form you would like, Representative Barrett.
Very good. And thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I have two folks with me that I would like to tag team our discussion here. I have Kim Gibbons, the Executive Director of St. Croix Regional Education District, and I have Mr. Vern Kapp, who is the Superintendent of Rush City School District. Basically, what's happening here is there is an issue with the building that the St. Croix Regional Education District was renting, in which they had mold and other bad things happening to the building that made the building unoccupiable. So they're now renting land from a local church, which is a very good short-term solution, but does not serve the needs long-term. So what they're trying to do here is build a building with land in Rush City so that the folks who are currently working in St. Croix Regional Education District will have a place to work. And they'd like that to happen sooner rather than later. But I'd like to pass off now, if I can, to Kim Gibbons, who can give you the background on the issues with the current building and exactly what's being accomplished here.
Hi, welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Dr. Kim Gibbons. I'm the Executive Director of the St. Croix River Education District. We serve all of the school districts in Pine and Chisago counties, six school districts. The bulk of what we do is manage and oversee special education services. We have 58 employees who provide services out in our districts. Up until last summer, our organization rented two facilities in Rush City that were adjacent to each other, two different landlords. As Representative Barrett said, we had a number of facility issues with our largest building that resulted in significant mold infestation. We had over 15 employees that were sick. And the landlord was having difficulty determining whether or not it was cost-effective to fix the building. So in the meantime, we chose to vacate the building in the interest of our employees. We moved two-thirds of our organization to North Branch, to a church. The other third is still in Rush City in the second building that we were renting. Not an ideal situation to have our organization split between two towns. All of our northern districts are also experiencing difficulties now, sending teachers for training, having to drive farther, longer, more mileage expenses. So the superintendents formed a committee to study our options. We looked at finding additional rental property that would house 12,000 square feet, which is what we needed. We looked at purchasing property or building, and after reviewing all of those options, we really felt that the most cost-effective alternative was to build a new facility. So although SCRED is an independent school district, we don't currently have levy authority in the current statute. All other regular school districts and intermediate school districts are allowed to lease levy without going to the voters, and they can also access health and safety revenue through their member districts. So I believe that the legislation introduced on behalf of SCRED, we're only asking for the same ability for an education district to levy for the cost of the facility.
Mr. Chair, if I may, I also have Superintendent Vern Kapp from the Rush City School District who can add a few words in support of the bill as well.
Welcome to the committee, sir. Please state your name for the record.
Vern Kapp, Superintendent from Rush City Schools. Happy to be here with you folks today. The districts that Dr. Gibbons was referring to are Chisago Lakes, North Branch, Rush City, Pine City, Hinckley-Finlayson, and East Central School Districts. All of those districts, I'm sure as you folks are aware, are struggling with the challenging financial times that we are in public sector work. Without the levy authority, we would need to take general fund dollars to finance the building project that we are discussing. Building projects typically are not funded with general fund dollars. We usually bond for those, but as Dr. Gibbons mentioned, we don't have that authority. So rather than spending general fund dollars on buildings, we'd rather spend those on staff, programs, materials, technology, things that are going to allow our students to make progress on the academic standards in the state of Minnesota. The SCRED organization, I think, is a shining example of what the legislature asked schools to do, to collaborate, to cooperate, to find ways to save taxpayers money through collaboration. And I can say without any doubt, we save tens of thousands of dollars each year for member districts. So the building project, I think, as both Representative Barrett and Dr. Gibbons have mentioned, would be a good long-term solution. It's the best long-term solution that we have found for our students and our taxpayers. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Barrett, do you have any additional testifiers?
I do not. There may be one or two people that might like to testify from the department. I'm not quite sure.
This is a public hearing. Are there any members of the public who wish to testify in favor or voice concerns about the bill? Seeing none, we'll close. You can never tell if they're walking down or if they're okay. So we'll close the public comment portion of this bill and move to member questions. Any members of the committee have questions for Representative Barrett or his testifiers? Pretty concise. So Representative Barrett, any closing comments?
Thank you for your support. I'd appreciate a yes vote.
Thank you. Well, we're laying this over for possible inclusion, so we're not actually voting on it. So that's, I can't promise you our yes vote, but I can promise you that we won't vote no today. So with that, the chair renews his motion to have House File 2383 laid over for possible inclusion in a later bill. Representative Barrett and our testifiers, thank you very much for coming down today.
Thank you.
Representative Fritz. The chair will move House File 1413 for possible inclusion in a later bill. And welcome to the committee, Representative Fritz. Good to see you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I appreciate that. There is an amendment, too, I believe, to bring the date.
The chair will move the A1 amendment to bring it up to date from 2012 to 2013. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed, say nay. Motion prevails. The bill is, or I should say that we laid over the Barrett motion bill as amended for possible inclusion in a later bill. And likewise, that'll be the motion on 1413. Representative Fritz, to your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate you hearing our bill today and allowing us this opportunity. And with me today, I have our new superintendent from the Faribault School District, Todd Sesker, who had brought this to me a year ago, and we were unfortunately unable to move it at that time. But we're here today, and I'm very pleased to introduce him to you and have him speak to the bill.
Welcome to the committee, sir. Please state your name for the record.
Todd Sesker, the superintendent at Faribault Public Schools. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. A couple of notes on this. The last levy for this that we had in place was for taxes payable in 2011, fiscal year 2012. We would like to have our local school board approve the levy for this particular levy for payable 2013 for fiscal year 2014. The amount of the lease levy for the district would be $140,000. There is no available space at any of our school sites for the district office, and the levy would be intended for the district office. The only space that is available is our alternative learning center, and in order for us to move into the alternative learning center, we would have to move those kids into another space. We've looked at all the spaces in Faribault, and none of the spaces are, the spaces that we looked into are more expensive than what we're currently paying for a lease. Also, if we decided to build a new facility for the district office space, construction costs would certainly exceed the costs of the lease. So we're hoping that we can get support from this committee to move forward with this bill and hopefully help us out with our administrative costs.
Representative Fritz, do you have any additional testifiers?
No, I don't. This is all we have.
Okay. This is a public hearing. Are there any members of the public who wish to testify in favor or voice concerns about the bill? Seeing none, we'll close the public comment portion of the bill and move to member questions. Mr. Crow, we see that there's a fiscal note of $1,000 on this bill. And I guess I know the answer to the question, but if you could explain to members of the committee why lowering property taxes costs money.
Mr. Chair and members, you actually see this on most of the fiscal notes that have a levy impact today. The fiscal note assumes that the district will be able to lease for the space for a couple thousand dollars less than the allowable current than the instructional space lease that would be allowed under current law. And so this levy reduction of $2,000 reduces the amount of shift savings by 48%. 5.6% of $2,000 that the state claimed from the property tax revenue recognition shift. So it shows a state aid cost of $1,000 relative to that $2,000 levy reduction.
Proving that nothing is simple in education finance. Any questions for members of the committee? Any closing comments, Representative Fritz?
No, just thank you again for allowing us this time, Chairman Ruffalo, and I'm very happy to have my new superintendent here.
Well, thank you, Representative Fritz, and Superintendent, welcome. We're happy to have you up here today. Thank you. So with that, the chair will renew his motion to have House File 1413, as amended, laid over for possible inclusion in a later bill. Thank you both very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you, members.
Members, the last bill on the agenda is House File 1983, and the chair will move his own bill. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Drez, you're up. Representative Drazkowski. Sorry. I'm sorry. The chair will move House File 2192 for possible inclusion in a later bill. And Representative Drazkowski, you do not have an amendment, so the chair will move that, and please proceed with your testimony. My apologies, Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
It's very hard to see your short name.
If you consider that offensive, you know, I've been offended by much, much more, so don't worry about that. Mr. Chair, thank you, and committee. This is a bill simply to re-extend to the Lewiston-Altura School District their disabled access levy authority. Members, I don't know, you are being on the committee are probably much more aware of this than I, but early in the 90s, this levy authority was extended to each school district in Minnesota. About two-thirds of them used all of their levy authority. Lewiston-Altura was one of the districts that did not. They used about a third of it. They have need for disability construction on one of their buildings and are asking the legislature to let them reassume that authority over the next 5 years. I have with me, Mr. Chair, Jeff Opsey, who is the superintendent of schools at Lewiston-Altura, and he'd like to say a few words.
Hi, welcome to the committee, sir. Please state your name for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. My name is Jeff Opsey. I'm the superintendent of Lewiston-Altura Public Schools. We've been studying options to accommodate a couple of our students that are currently attending our elementary school that are in wheelchairs. Our school in Altura accommodates fifth and sixth graders. We have, depending on what our enrollment is in any given year, you have about 100 to 150 students there. The school is small, but there are a series of remodeling projects that we identified after our district completed an ADA study last year. The remodeling projects, the cost estimate totals about $170,000. To be able to move forward, if we were able to access the remaining funds that are disabled access levy, we'd be able to move forward and complete the projects to be able to accommodate those students when they the first one will begin attending the intermediate school in 2013-2014. So,
thank you. Representative Drazkowski, do you have any additional testifiers?
I do not, Mr. Chair. I do know there's a fiscal note that that maybe Mr. Crow can talk about more intelligently than I.
Well, I can paraphrase what Mr. Crow is going to say, but basically because of the property tax recognition shift, this is going to generate savings in fiscal year 13. Right? This is a public hearing. Are there any members of the public who wish to testify in favor or voice concerns about the bill? Seeing none, we'll close the public comments portion of this bill and move to member questions. Any questions for members of the committee? Representative Drazkowski, any closing comments? Representative Greiling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Drazkowski or the fiscal staff or whoever. This is one of the districts that didn't levy all of their potential, and I'm wondering how many others are there and what would that total bill add up to? And of course, just because the fiscal note says we're saving money, we know this actually is a levy. It's only because of the perverseness of the shift that it appears to be a savings, whereas Representative Fritz's appears to be a cost. So I'm just wondering, I always have liked bills that are opportunities for one district to be opportunities for all in the same circumstance rather than just a bill for a district. And but if we did it for all, then what would it cost?
Mr. Crow or Mr. Strom?
Mr. Chair, members, there are three districts that have levy authority remaining without any change in law. And then there's about 140 districts that, let me go back. For background, as Representative Drazkowski noted, that this was a levy that districts had 8 years to make. So once they initially made a levy under this program, they had 8 years to expend their full available authority under the program. If they didn't, the levy authority expired. There are three districts that didn't start the levy, so they have levy authority. And then there are 140 districts that started it and after 8 years had not levied the full amount that they could have under the law. And so that expired authority is $26.8 million. And that's the provision that Representative Drazkowski's bills would allow an exemption for, that if it was offered to all school districts, it'd be about $27 million of levy if those districts needed to levy for it. And in a lot of cases, they didn't levy, or in some cases, they didn't levy because they did the projects that qualified under the program and didn't have any additional need. Some of them had, you know, there were districts that had a new school, for example, and so they didn't have an ADA need or they had real small ones that they took care of and they didn't need to levy any additional amount. And so, as you can see in the fiscal note, Lewis and Altura had $216,000 remaining of their $300,000 limit. And so the presumption is that they're going to levy this over 5 years with property tax increases of about $43,000 per year to accommodate those the use of that authority that would be granted under this bill.
So Representative Greiland.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, then I would just say, you know, this is the kind of thing that we could expect, those of you who are still here, you know, bills that come in one at a time. And I always would prefer that we would make a policy that would be for everybody now and in the future rather than a bill for one district. And my fear is when you do it for one district, then you are really open to doing it for all. And it would then be a potential of $28 million that this committee might think there were other higher purposes or not. You know, I personally think this is a fine use, but I just think it should be considered to have it be a threshold bill for all instead of just for one district. And I also worry then that, you know, we tend to think if we can afford these, we afford them for really small districts, but then we see the same price tag for a bigger district, and we decide we can't possibly do that district because that would be too big of a cost. And this committee does have to pick up levy costs. So I think there has to be a lot of careful thinking and beyond just one bill, because we all know how things start around here.
And Representative Greiland, you're always consistent in that area. I think in this area, there's a couple of moving parts to this. One, and I want to clarify this with Mr. Crow and Mr. Strom, is that unlike other areas where there's a per-pupil allocation, this is a per-district cap. Is that correct?
Yeah, Mr. Chair and members, this is a $300,000 of authority per district. And just to clarify what I said before, the three districts actually have less than $300,000 remaining, so the ones that are currently levying are within their eight-year window. I said they may not have clicked on yet, but they all have less than $300,000. So they've done some, so their clock is ticking, those three that have some left.
And then, thank you. And then the second variable, of course, is what is the window that is available to districts in terms of how they would levy this. But certainly I'm willing to consider, and maybe you and I can work on this, Representative Greiling, is looking at a statewide policy change that would address the concerns of Representative Drazkowski, what he's trying to accomplish, but then also make sure that we're not seeing a long list of districts coming before this committee. So, are there any other... Representative Anderson, then we'll go to, well, Representative Drazkowski, did you want to comment before then?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just along that thread, I'm trying to remember, maybe Mr. Strom or Mr. Crow can comment, but I believe there is some legislative history where this has been reauthorized a number of times in the past on an ad hoc basis, and it seems, just to add to the discussion, there doesn't seem to be a huge flow of them coming forward.
Mr. Crow, Mr. Strom, have we ever done this before?
Yes.
Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. And just for clarification, is this strictly a local levy, or is there any equalization from the state as part of this?
Mr. Crow and Mr. Strom.
you guys. It's your turn.
Mr. Chair, with Ms. Johnson's presence, we're a little thrown off our game today. This is a local levy, but there is the shift effect. So it's all local levy, but there is a shift effect.
I'm thrown off by your comments. Representative Anderson. Are there any additional questions? Representative Greiling.
Mr. Chair, Representative Anderson, though, this is not the tax committee, so always when there is a local levy, it's hard to understand. Representative Van Zyl's and I have discussed this many times. When a district is just going to levy their own levy, then why do we have to approve it? It's their money. But it has to be carried in this committee, so there, even when there's no equalization, there's still a cost to this committee that could be spent on this or something else.
Just to be clear, there's a levy cost, but the general fund, because of the property tax recognition shift, is
And Mr. Chair, if the committee doesn't get a levy target, then it does come out of the general fund, and that's been the history recently. Is there's no levy target for the education finance committee, so then it does have to be paid for by the general fund if there's any target there.
Representative, any other questions for members of the committee? Any closing comments, Representative Drazkowski?
None, Mr. Chair. Thank you, committee.
With that, the chair renews his motion to have House Bill 2192 laid over for possible inclusion in a later bill. Thank you very much for your testimony, and Representative Drazkowski for visiting. Okay, the final bill on the agenda is House File 1983. And the chair will move House File 1983 be recommended to pass and referred to the General Register. Can I have my hand on? Thank you. Members of the committee, what this does, this repeals Subdivision 3 of Section 127A-95, and this is a body of law regarding the implementation of the No Child Left Behind Act. And what Subdivision 3 specifically says is if the Federal Department of Education does not transmit to the Commissioner of Education its approval of the conditions of Subdivision 2, Paragraph B, which lists out some mandate relief that we seek in statute, then we're supposed to put together a report. The Department of Education is supposed to put together a report that lists out what it costs. Obviously, with the successful acceptance of the waiver by Commissioner Casilius and Governor Dayton, the department, we are currently receiving a waiver from that. There's really no reason to find out what the, from this member's perspective, what the costs would be of us opting out of it if we're already being waived. So that's my presentation. I have no testifiers, but this is a public hearing. If any members of the public wish to testify in favor or voice concerns about the bill, please come forward. Seeing none, we'll close the public comments portion of the bill and move to member questions and comments. Any questions from members of the committee? Seeing none, the chair will renew his motion that House File 1983 be recommended to pass and refer to the General Register. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. That concludes our agenda for the day, members. Just one, we have fun in this committee, but one serious announcement. For those that don't know, our committee administrator, Jody Withers, his father passed away last weekend after he's been suffering an illness for the last week. We're not going to be having committee on Thursday of this week. We will be meeting tomorrow, but we will not be meeting on Thursday. And just keep Jody in your thoughts. And our former researcher in this committee, Abigail Johnson, is just filling in for a couple days here. We want to welcome Abigail back to the committee. So any closing comments from members of the committee before we adjourn? Republicans, do we have a room for us? Republican members, if you can stick around, instead of meeting at 4 o'clock, I think we're just going to meet right now and wrap up the GOP caucus. So with that, members, we are adjourned. Thank you.